Hi everyone and welcome to today's Ladies Room. I am Aisling and I am joined here by Dr. Teresa. And today we are going to do a little talk on binging. It happens to everybody. And Teresa, can you tell us one of the main reasons that we end up binging from dieting?
Well, I would say that the main reason is because it's so easy to do and we set ourselves up for it.
Right.
So I think that what's really important is to kind of do a few back steps and figure out what gets you into this situation, because so many women struggle. They work hard for,
right,
and whether it's one binge that's like one evening, or if it's a weekend binge or holiday binge, that this binging is what I call, it's like storm eating. You can't get the food into your mouth
fast enough. Yeah.
Your mind has no thoughts in it except sometimes shame and sometimes how am I ever going to undo this? And of course, for many women now, the problem of actually developing an eating disorder or bulimia,
right,
the purging after the binge is really a problem. And purging after a binge. So when we're talking about binging now, we're not necessarily talking about binging and purging. They can go together, but they can be separate.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with the purging is the sense of relief over the shame sets you up for, as soon as you start to put food in your mouth, that you go, it's okay, I already ate too much, so I'm just going to purge.
Mm-hmm.
So what we find, like as far as eating disorders are concerned, that this becomes very hard to eradicate. It's actually addictive in its own way, because the sense of relief is just foreign. You know, for me, it was really hard to understand. I had to listen to a lot of women's stories, because of course, if you don't purge, then you think, oh, I hate having the flu. I hate throwing up. I'd do anything not to throw up, but it isn't the same thing. There's a sense of control and there's a sense of relief and there's a sense of euphoria that comes with it. And then also then that gate is lowered, the threshold's lowered, the permission for the next binge.
I guess it feels like you get away with it. It's like, got away with it again. Like, you know, when you purge, it's like, okay.
So for me, and I discussed this with you when I said I wanted today's topic, the first thing that I want to put up is that a lot of times people are listening to this because, you know, we have the Flat Tummy Mummy program and I wrote a Evolutionary Eating, How We Got Fat and Seven Simple Fixes. And so a lot of it is about weight management and eating skills and things like that, because women are really concerned about their weight. So the first thing that I like to make sure I go over with binging and purging is, binging is definitely a way to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
Binging and purging is also a way to gain weight. So women start off binging and purging because they think it's a way to lose weight,
mm-hmm,
but it doesn't work. Most women who have bulimia or binge and purge actually struggle with their weight and they're overweight. They are not normal weight and they're not, certainly not as thin as they want to be. And their body becomes very resistant to this and starts really working fast on the binge. And what happens is they know of someone who does it and gets down thin, and that becomes their mind's eye picture. They don't know the numbers that have done it, that did it for a while and they controlled their weight, and then their weight spirals out of control because the shame associated with it means that people don't talk about it. But they especially don't talk about it when they're very heavy.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem to make sense.
No.
Then, you know, they just feel like people would look at them and go, why even bother?
Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to make sure that we got this right in the beginning to talk about, so that women understand and don't at least make the mistake that this is going to help them maintain or lose weight. It seems like a good idea in the beginning, just get rid of it, but it doesn't work. And neither do the laxatives and things like that as a way of getting rid. So the sense of, well, it's, you know, eating less, but they don't really understand how many calories we can pack in,
right,
in a binge with the modern food we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't get through real food. The sheer volume of it and how much you have to chew, you can literally inhale so many calories in a really fast amount of time.
Right.
That you're processing them, you know, you just need to think of it as like drinking. I mean, that's how I describe it to people. It's like, you go out, you know, you drink alcohol, mm-hmm. and you know, there's people who drink until they throw up, but they're drunk.
Right.
So you, the alcohol got in you.
Yeah.
You know, they're so drunk that they threw up.
Yeah.
So throwing up did not get rid of the alcohol that they put in.
Right.
It got rid of some of the alcohol. That's their body's way of going, you're poisoning me. So when you do a binge and you're eating 10,000 calories, even if you get rid of 8,000 of them, that's 2,000 calories that are left.
Right.
And you're like, 10,000, you couldn't eat that much. Yes, it's amazing. And it's actually, my understanding is that it can be actually difficult to purge unless you've binged.
Right.
Like you need a certain huge amount
mm-hmm.
to actually have enough to get out of your stomach. And so that's why, you know, when we have people with drug overdoses and things and come to the hospital, you can't just give them something to make them throw up. You have to pump their stomach because
right.
if there isn't enough there, you can't
get
enough
out.
To get it out.
Right.
So the first point was is that this is a very, very, very bad weight loss strategy, particularly in the long run. And in fact, it's a weight gain strategy
right.
in the long run. But it does touch on so many of the other things that we have in relation to our eating behavior and our shame and our body image and a secrecy that is involved around eating and the desire to just gorge that we don't understand. So I wanted to make sure that we would have a chance to chat about this because, you know, when we work with these ladies and it's sort of one of those secret shames, and that's the whole point of having the ladies' rooms,
yeah,
is that we talk about stuff that maybe you don't feel comfortable
right.
talking
yes.
about, you know, in a pretty open way, and hopefully you realize you're not alone.
Yes, of course.
And that when a behavior like this touches on our biology and our physiology so strongly, it is very hard to get rid of.
Right.
Does it mean that you have to go outside for help? No, I don't know that that actually helps people do any better. A lot of times just understanding what's setting yourself up for the behavior is, I think, is probably the best way of going. So that's why, you know, we talked and thought this would be a really good topic. So
right.
It's really important to sort of think of the binge as once a binge has started, it is pretty difficult to control. So,
well, I think that people are left with the mindset during a binge is that, well, I've started, so I might as well finish. You know,
right.
It's like I've already blown it, so I might as well keep going. And then it's like green lights everywhere. I'll have that and I'll have a taste of that and give me one of those. It's nonstop.
Well, we're just finished holiday times here, and then, but the worst is maybe Halloween, and I always get a lot of calls,
right.
a lot of binge calls of people who've been really good, and particularly about watching things like, because the insulin, like watching sugar.
Right.
Okay, and they said, I just felt awful, like sick while I was binging. Not just shame, but like the physical sensation
mm-hmm.
from all that sugar when I wasn't used to it, or even the quantity, that I needed to keep eating it to feel better.
Right, yes,
and they,
it's a vicious
to hear
cycle.
People keep saying, like, I felt so bad, I had to do more so I could feel better from how bad
right.
I was feeling.
Yeah.
Because just stopping at that point will not make you feel better.
Right, yeah. It'll actually, you know, you think that it's so shameful what you have done, you're just gonna sit there and just feel sorry for yourself anyway. So I think that's what drives people just to keep going. I'll just keep eating until I feel better.
Now, I know that there's people who haven't binged, but that's not me. I have. I have had binging behavior. The most useful thing for me is to help control the context of it.
Right.
But there were certain foods that I just consider still would be binge-worthy foods. So I would say if they're still around, like for me, you would see that I engage in a few things like pour water over my food so I will stop. I definitely will throw out food and then make sure that it's destroyed because yes, in fact, I have taken food out of a clean trash can, especially if it's in the box, you know, like,
yeah.
and a pizza box.
Right, yes. You're
so
not alone.
So, like, taking the pizza box and putting the pizza in a trash can is not enough to make me not go back and get the pizza
right.
out of it.
Yeah.
So pizza is a hard one for me, and it's sort of like a prolonged binge of where I would start the pizza from the night before, and then just knowing the pieces are in there, and I like cold pizza, that's like my favorite. So I would just like eat another
Amazing.
Piece, eat another, mm. you know, piece, and brownies were very, very bad for me. Because I really like the edges, and I'd eat the edges till I was sick.
Right.
I like the crispy part. I didn't like the gooey middle part, but after I'd eaten all the edges till I felt sick, then I would eat the gooey middle part
because
I felt sick. And then I would just lay in bed. And see, that wasn't purging them, but feeling as sick as, like, I think I'm going to be sick. Like, I can feel, like, chocolate in my throat, but I probably would have eaten more even if it was still available.
Yes.
And I would have a problem with frozen M&Ms. Those were horrible.
Frozen M&Ms?
Yeah, because you can just keep pouring them into your hand. And you can eat so many more frozen M&Ms than you can eat not frozen
I
ones.
I didn't even know that was a thing, frozen M&Ms.
My mother did that. So I would come, and it was like I would get in trouble. I mean, I could eat them. Now, my first binge, you'll laugh, is, so this is how bad binging is. My first binge, I know what I binge on, was strawberries. And I'm allergic to them.
What? Oh,
God. So I can tell you that I would eat strawberries. I would get in trouble. I would be grounded. I ate it at when I was babysitting at people's houses where I was not allowed to eat the food, and I couldn't stop, and I was allergic to them. So my mother would say, she would tell stories, like I would stand in front of the refrigerator. She'd make the strawberries, cut them up, put a little bit of sugar on top of it in a bowl, and we would have, you know, strawberry shortcake or something for dessert. And I would come with a spoon and just shovel those strawberries into my mouth, and hives would be coming out. And
right.
I'd be scratching and swallowing both because I just loved them.
Oh, my gosh.
I just loved them. But at that time, they were really good strawberries. They only were seasonal. You know, we get them at that time. And I would just eat them. And I would think, it's sort of like strawberry jam. Never had an inclination to want to eat a spoonful of jam out of the jar.
Right.
Or even, like, binge on strawberry jam and peanut butter sandwiches, and I like peanut butter very much.
Yeah.
But it was those strawberries, and that I was sick while it was on there. Something literally clicked off in my brain. Like, my brain wasn't working.
It's so funny that even though you would come out in loads of hives, it wouldn't stop you. You would still keep going.
And the horror of doing that at, like, when you're babysitting, eating someone else's food, and, like, they're going to know. Like, you went in and there was, like, a carton of strawberries in there, and you just ate them, all of them. I'd eat one, and then I would go back and eat another. You know,
right.
I'd just eat them until they were all gone.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop eating them till they were all gone.
That's so funny. That reminds me of, you know, thinking of you in the fridge eating the strawberries. I know I've told you this story before, but when I went to New Jersey, well, I went to New York 2.5 years ago, and I had some family in New Jersey, and I was staying with this 75-year-old woman who was an amazing cook. She made, like, the nicest home food ever, just, like, really comforting food. When I would go back there after spending a week in New York, so in New York, like, you would not be eating well. It would be mostly rubbishy foods that weren't satisfying, non-satiating foods. So I would go back there, and she would make this amazing rice pudding. It was the nicest rice pudding I've ever had in my life. And she would fold in she would whip, you know, real cream and fold it into the rice pudding. So it wasn't like gloopy rice pudding. Mm-hmm. It was more like kind of airy and fluffy. Mm-hmm. So I would, like, fall asleep on the couch. I'd be watching TV, and then I would wake up at, like, a ridiculous hour, like maybe 1:30, 2 a.m. in the morning. And I would go up to the kitchen with a spoon, open the fridge, and start eating the rice pudding out of
the container.
Like, that is not okay. And I would sit in front of the fridge eating this rice pudding. Like, it was just so bad, but I just couldn't help myself. And for me, dairy is, like, super hedonic, and it makes me want to eat so many more things. Like, I go and then I'd have, like, cookies or biscuits, whatever, crazy. And I would know that it was bad for me, but I just, it was like you said, it's like a switch that just flips off and it's just like green lights, go for it. You go
it's
for
the,
gold.
It's the beast.
Yeah.
It's the beast. You know, we've done a podcast where we talked about the brat, the dog brain.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, we really need to talk about the three brains and how they, you know, how they have to do with your eating. And there is no doubt the biggest problem of the binge is it unleashes the beast.
Right.
The werewolf chained up in the shed.
Right.
So what happens is the way that our brains are structured and is that we have sort of the innermost brain, there's in layers. So the innermost brain is the most primitive brain. So sometimes I call it the reptilian brain or the brain stem, but it is survival. It's like eat, don't be eaten. People spend a lot of effort trying to train their beast brain. And
right.
beasts can't be trained.
Mm-hmm.
But they can be tamed, but only if you are consistent and reliable. And of course, they're beasts, so they're like, you know, that's the appetite of a beast.
Right.
You know, Tasmanian devil, like just two hands shoving it in as fast as you can. And this idea, like someone's going to take your food away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just put that picture and was like, I'm going to growl at you. Like, stay away from my food. Ah, you know, eat as much of it like it's going to disappear. You know, and that is how you feel. Like, I feel that way when I would eat something like those strawberries or pizza. Like, I have to eat it. I have to eat, like what my grandmother said. She's like, you're eating like there's no tomorrow. And I'm like, yes. Beasts do not understand the concept of the future.
Right.
They eat like there's no tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, I have to eat everything in the world for I shall die.
Yes.
Momentarily.
Yeah.
And maybe die from not eating this food. But there's no other thought. There's no room.
No.
There's very little pleasure. And in the most intense part of it, there's not so much pain and shame. That sort of comes later.
Right.
But what triggers it is this access and the restriction that came before it. Like, what did you do, and I call it, is that you chained up the beast.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, you know, and obviously a dragon is a beast. So you're gonna have trouble if you take those dragons, you start chaining them up underneath the earth, you know, and they are not going to like it very much, and they are going to turn on you. So this beast brain, this primitive part of our brain, it doesn't understand those things. But we do have layers that have layers of control. So on top of the beast brain, we have the brat brain. This is the mammalian, warm-blooded. The dog is a really great example. And this is trainable. And this is where we actually need to work a lot of times is if you do this, this is the reward or the punishment. You know, you can train this and you create an environment and a habitat where there is an expected outcome for certain circumstances.
Okay.
So that is where most of the skills of eating come. They do not come in the binge. So when you starve the beast, and the beast doesn't know when you're going to eat. So we've talked about fasting or spacing meals and not snacking and not saying I'm starving. Because starving really is the beast has no idea when you're going to take it into your head to eat. And dieting is so stressful and restrictive of this, like I look at everyone else, I hate myself, I'm not going to feed you. I have real problems with how our self speak. I mean, maybe that's one of the differences that I have is I don't have, you know, maybe that helped me is I didn't really cross that border into the extreme self-loathing that I see for a lot of women.
Right.
So I always go is like, to myself, is like, can you be like nice as you would be to, not to other women, we're kind of terrible about that, but a dog or a baby. We don't go around, we don't pinch babies because they're fat. We don't hate them. We don't hate our dog because they've got on a few extra pounds. We don't find them revolting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have a really, really, really fat dog on, you know, Google images. Like, then you actually are much more revolted by the people who fed that dog.
Right. Yeah, of course.
But then, like, a massively fat cat is actually entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't feel that way about a massively fat human being.
No.
We're really, really, really revolted and disgusted by that. And we turn that on ourselves, like that feeling of loathing our own selfness with no patience, because it's just tissue, it's just extra baggage that you're carrying around.
Right.
It's just a bad clothing choice. I look at it as like, it's unfortunate, like the puffy coat, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't have to wear it forever.
Yeah.
But it's winter and you have to wear it because you have nothing else to wear.
I feel like women go around and they, you know, they're constantly comparing themselves to somebody else. Everybody has somebody that they compare themselves to. And when they turn that on themselves, it's like, oh, why can't you be like that? Or, you know, what is wrong with you? And it's just, it gets into this whole cycle, and then they get depressed, and then the binges start again, and then it's, you know, the self-loathing, and it's just this such a vicious cycle. It's terrible.
Well, I mean, so when people say is, why can't you control your eating, is because they live in a habitat where their eating is out of control.
Right.
So the topmost layer of the brain, the human part, the thinking part of our brain, this is the neocortex. It's really the newest part. I call that the big brother. It is where our willpower is stored. Nothing has real power mm-hmm. in this thinking part of the brain. So it's like when your parents leave and they leave your big brother in control. So if the beast or the brat, you know, so I call the beast is like the dragon, and the brat is like that Dr. Seuss, like, Cat in the Hat, thing one right. and thing two. They're just like zooming around. And the big brother's like, stop. And nothing is, you know, there's no stopping them.
Right.
They're just like having
out
a blast. They're out of control because they're so poorly trained.
Right.
You know, so you have to train thing one and thing two. Mm-hmm. Because they're not beasts, they're brats.
Right. Yeah.
And that there's all this comparison, like they're kind of like children. Like children can be brats. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's a study in bratdom.
Right.
I mean, every one of those is like a little eating brat, right? You have Augustus Gloop, like he eats, like, non-stop. I just want the food. It tastes so good. Oh, yes, like more. Like, my mother loves me, like being like this.
Yeah.
And of course, it's a boy,
right?
And then you have the
Veruca
Salt. Like, I want one of those squirrels now.
Give it to me now.
And then you have the gum chewing, like,
Violet
Beauregard.
Violet, yes.
Yes, and she's just gonna do her own thing.
Yeah.
And she is, you know, they all just don't listen. They don't care. And Mike TV is, they just don't listen. They just drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And they are familiar brats. That's why the book has lasted so long.
Right.
And then you have, you know, Willy Wonka sitting there like, oh, brat kids, you know. And so you. His reflection is that what made them brats? Their parents made them. Like, don't blame the kids.
Yeah.
Blame the person who didn't socialize the brat to be, you don't give in to brats and they get brattier.
Right.
So all the brats are indulged in whatever their behavior that they want to do.
So with our brat brain, is that like the gimme, gimme, gimme? Like,
yeah,
I want
a gimme is like, I want. And it's so normal.
Right.
Like, the point of a brat is that you're a brat until someone makes you not be. That's totally normal. Like, we all have the brat brain, but we also all have the beast brain, and that's why we binge. So if there is a feeling of deprivation, starvation, suffering, which is what a diet is,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason they call it a diet.
it's the
opposite of live. Yeah. It's like, I am just, you know. Now, the funny thing is that diet, which we think of as restrictive eating,
right.
actually comes from a word which, you know, dieta with an A on the end, and it means way of life.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like it's your way of life, daily. But we don't think of it that way. Dieting means suffering.
Right.
Like, you might as well, like, just. So your brain is immediately going to think, when is this going to stop?
Right, yeah.
And of course, it has to stop, like, because you can't just keep losing weight, which is why losing weight is an absolutely terrible goal. Because your brain goes like, okay, so what do you, like, how long are we going to lose until you think you're attractive? Well, you're nuts. So your brain, like, knows you're nuts, and it doesn't care anyway. Like, who do you think is looking at you? Or you think you're going to be on the, you know, magazine spread or something? That you care is like, I care because people are looking at me and they're revolted. And those are those rules that society puts on them. They're not going to go away. We're human beings. We live in social circumstances where the rules are very important, and I can hear ringing.
Yeah, it's the vibrating.
It's the vibrating of a phone somewhere. I think of the ringer turned off, but there's still vibration. So I didn't lose my train of thought, and sorry, everyone listening to this podcast, that I was unprepared, but I did lose my train of thought.
Yes, sorry, I was kind of distracted by that too. Dieting.
Yeah, yes. That it's this. If we live in society, we're social beings. Right. We're very, very responsive to what we think other people think of us. That is part of being a human being. It won't go away.
Right.
It is not going to go away. You don't want to be a disgusting or a repulsive person. So what happens that people set themselves up for a binge is that in restrictive instead of restrained, you know, you'll hear me talk a lot. It's like restrained eating means I have a plan. I've set up a situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to eat reasonably. Like I work on my eating skills, not on my dieting skills.
Right.
Because a diet by its very nature is like, when are we going to get off of this thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as soon as you get off of it, you gain back all the weight.
Well, that's it. It's like, well,
with friends.
Yes.
I mean, it comes with
more.
Yeah. This has been shown in study after study after study.
Well, this is the problem with serial dieters. They're serial dieters because it didn't work.
It worked. That's the worst
thing. Oh, well, it worked.
It worked one. You know,
it didn't work in the long
run. And it keeps working less and less each time.
Yeah.
And then it gets worse each time afterwards.
Right, yeah.
So the problem with the binge is that the restriction we feel as a human, it's this beast. So I say it's just like the werewolf, mm-hmm. okay? You've changed the beast. It doesn't know when it's going to be. It doesn't know when it's going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you'll never eat again. You're disgusting. You're fat. You're beastly. You smell. You're horrible. Everyone hates you. You have to be chained in the cellar because you're not fit for being out in public.
Right.
Like the brat is like just embarrassing to be out in public. But the beast can't be out in public.
Yeah.
So it's all so shameful and hidden. And I need to just starve myself until I look normal. These sort of self-thoughts are set us up for a binge.
You know, there's a great little saying that reminds me of the beast, and it's what you eat in private, you wear in public. So
yes.
That's just like dining with the beast, but you're going to wear that in public.
And, well, it's that private, it's like once it starts, you can't. It's just eat as fast as possible anything that's in the refrigerator. And of course, now you couldn't binge by going out of the house.
Right.
You know, I call it like the zombie apocalypse now. Like there's food everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it's just a very quick car ride away.
Right.
Like it's not as bad in Ireland as it is here. You have no problem eating 24/7 anywhere. There's these open all night gas stations. There's fast food.
It's true.
There's
yeah.
huge refrigerators. Your refrigerators, you have these little refrigerators like we keep
That's,
in dormitory
yeah.
rooms or, you know, master bedroom suites.
Right.
You know, you have these small, like you can't hold so much.
I thought that was so funny actually when we were speaking about that, because what the fridge that I have in my house would be, you were saying, like the size of a fridge that might be in somebody's bedroom or, you know, dormitory, whatever. But when we go to like a DID store or an electrical store where you go and you buy fridges, they are known as the American fridges, the big fridges. So they're that's your American fridge. But it's crazy because, you know, obviously, well, we can't fill up our fridge as much as the Americans can, but it's like that it's always stocked, because when you have a big fridge, there's always room to put more stuff in. So it's always there. Food is always there.
Food is always there, and food is always accessible. And large parts of food where people, you know, you just sit there and you think of like at the drive-thru of, you know, and Taco Bell was our first, like, that they actually called it fourth meal.
Right.
Right, just exactly what we need, right? Is that you know that they know people are like, oh, I'm having a party, right? So I'm like, have a bit bags and bags of this, and they're like, yep, you're going to just like eat in the parking lot or go home and you're just going to just chow down on all of this food. We can just right. tell even before we saw you from the sound of the fake cheerful
sound in your voice when you came, like, I just don't want people to know that this is what I'm doing, and I just feel it coming on. But a lot of times what you don't feel it coming on, but you just started and then you can't stop. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about how we can work with our three brains. So we know that the beast brain, which is what the binge is like, you have restricted me, you've chained me up, and now that I broke the chain, I'm going to just rampage and eat everything in sight. Right. Like the, you know, the werewolf, like I said, they go and they, like the old stories, they would like go through the flock of sheep and they come back with like a bulging stomach. Like they just eat until they're ready to pop.
Right.
And then, you know, they don't howl at the moon anymore. But you just... they just get loose. They can't get loose. And we have an idea that we can chain them up, but they always get loose.
Yeah.
And then they always go on a rampage when they get loose.
Right.
And then we just try harder to chain them up, but we become, you know, fearful, like people will find out or know. So you've set yourself up because the food is actually there. That's
right.
The biggest problem.
Okay.
Is this context. And so when people say, you know, should I eat, you know, if I really want it, should I have some or not? This is where we get into brat and big brother.
Okay.
Okay? Because the reality is people are a little bit different. So I think that what works for some people is they feel like if they can have a little bit of something, like the dark chocolate square, and they can eat that once a day, then they're good. Like if you give me my little bit of something to look forward to, or I have my cheat day, they do very well with that.
Well, I think an important thing to say there is that dark chocolate, for me, maybe for a lot of the ladies out there, it's difficult for me to overeat dark chocolate. If it was milk chocolate, I could eat that until the cows come home. So I think that it's, you know, give yourself a little bit of something that that will kind of
put
the
beast
to
sleep. Right,
that's
what I'm saying, is like, that's the frozen M&Ms.
Right.
That they're way easier to, M&Ms are easier to eat than dark chocolate. And when they're frozen, they're not quite as sweet.
Right,
like, it's hard to eat frosting.
Yeah.
In huge quantities.
Yeah.
Like you need cake and frosting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can eat ice cream because it's liquid too, and it would just keep going down. So ice cream's a biggie. All the crisps food, you know, much of the foods are actually designed to sort of trigger something overeating in your brain. So to trigger what I would call an ancestral or evolutionary binge.
Right.
Like it gets your insulin up fast, which is going to stimulate appetite. So you have been suppressing your appetite, and now you're going to get this huge surge of voracious appetite right while there's food in front of you, and you've already slipped. So you just keep going.
Right.
And then you can, like, I'm going to just start tomorrow. I haven't eaten. I haven't enjoyed myself. The problem is you don't enjoy yourself. So you've got to put the access away. You know, I'm always watched, well, I don't watch that much TV, but, you know, they in movies and TV, they those crime shows, like, they know when people go in and out of the hotels. You know, there's like, oh, someone walked in at 9:37, and then the door opened at 9:39.
Yeah.
That was too short of a time to murder somebody. You know, it's like this, like, these time frame things. I would like to have, you know, you've been to my house, so you know, like, I have all these things set up, so I have to walk more or do more. Is I wish sometimes that I could set on my door, like, when I did, when I opened the refrigerator, it would send you a text message.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you would go, what you eating?
Yeah.
And if I had that, that would really help. That thought
that's
that someone could see me
idea.
Is like, that would really help me.
Yeah.
Like, the thought that someone was watching me, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It has to be, it would always be secret. I'm like, do not do that at the buffet. I do not gorge in front of everyone.
No.
And I don't do it that often because I do have learned that there are foods that I want in the house and not in the house.
Of course.
Because I would not trust myself to start on them.
Well, I think that's a great little tip. If it's not there, and I mean, look, if you're going to get into the car and go and do it, you're going to do it. But
for me, if it's not in the house, it means then it's effort. Like I have to go out and do it. And then if I'm in a store or, you know, a supermarket, and if I want to have a binge, I'm going to have to go and face the cashier with all of this crap. I personally, that kind of makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And also, because a lot of people know that I'm into fitness and that kind of thing, I don't want to be really seen at, you know, McDonald's, or, you know, I don't want to be seeing stuff in my face. So right. For me, if I do it, it's going to be at home, and the stuff has to be there. Maybe right. Bought by somebody else. It's like an operation for me right. Now.
And you can't feel like you deserve it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to tell the story of when you did that race that you did.
Right, yeah.
And then you like double fisted the ice creams after. Yeah. Like, because we have to like understand, it's like our brain says if you went through a whole lot, then you deserve it.
Yes, that's exactly.
And it was even in public and you just deserved it.
Yeah.
But you do, like you say, I burned so many calories. It's amazing how little calories you burn compared to how many you can eat.
I know. I can't remember actually. I think I got the fudge sundae and then I was like, you know what? I want the McFlurry too, and give me those crunchy bits. And I asked for the extra twist because I found out online, I think it was like McDonald's hacks or something, or there's like these things out called like secret menus. I don't know if anybody mm-hmm. out there have heard that, but it's like things that aren't on the menu, and you can like the people working there know what you're talking about. So when I got to the speaker, I was like, and an extra twist please, and I was kind of hoping that she wouldn't say excuse me, but she was like, yeah, okay.
Oh, is that like on the top, like an extra twirl on the cone?
So no, like in the McFlurry they have these where all the bits are. So I don't think you guys have crunchy over here, but it's like chocolate. I don't know if you've seen it over in Ireland. It's chocolate and honeycomb inside. So they're little chocolate honeycomb bits. And normally they just give you one twist of it, but I needed to have more of it. So I asked for an extra twist. So it's another round of honeycomb chocolate pieces. So yes, that night I did. I felt like I needed two. I double fisted, like you
right.
said. Well
but
put.
You know, I was glad that you fessed up.
Yeah.
But the really important part of it was, I told you, it's not a confession. It is just this common sense that we have is, I deserve this. Then I said, fine, cray, you've graduated. You said, I deserve it because I deserve it. Not because I burned enough, I just did was equivalent.
Right.
Which is what our brain, you know, we teach these fitness classes, people come in and they sweat and then they think, I can go out and have something.
Right.
And then the other thing that happens with this is, you know, we need to talk about blowing it on the weekend.
Oh, yes. Big one.
Really big one.
Yeah. And I will put my hand up and say that I was one of those people for a long time, because again, I deserve it. I worked so hard during the week and I was really, really good. And it was insane, like when I look back on how much food I could actually eat in the weekend, and I wasn't getting anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. And then I was like, why? I was like, I'm so good during the week. Why am I losing weight? And why don't I look this way? And, you know, the picture that I had in my head, you know, if I dieted this way, I would look amazing. But it was just eating so much rubbish on the weekends because I deserved it.
Yeah, holidays and weekends are really bad. And the other thing that happens along with those is alcohol. Alcohol has calories in it, especially like the lady drinks.
Right.
They are just loaded and you can really just plow through, you know, you
oh,
can just
Jesus,
drink loads
yeah.
of those. And you go out and you go, I'm dancing at all.
Yeah.
But it's like you never get to the other end of it.
No.
And it really disinhibits you about how much to eat.
Right.
And then I'd like to get to the last thing of what I consider to be a big binge trigger is I think that, and I think it's coming from the alcohol. So when I have men clients and I talk to them, a lot of times men will give men a lot of crap about not drinking.
Right, yes.
Like if you're out, like, you know, Ike always calls, like, my program for men is like the fat bastard program.
Yeah.
So I say, so if you're a man, you're just like, why are you not eating these nachos? And the one man can just say to another, because I don't want to be a fat bastard like you. Like, you can't say that if you're a woman.
Oh, no, yeah.
But you can definitely say it if you're a man, and they
yeah.
like it. Like, it's a contest, and I am better than you, because
right.
I'm not going to be a fat bastard like you.
Yeah.
But they feel more the unman of the drinking. So they feel more of that pressure. Whereas if you go out with women and you're going out like to have nachos and margaritas, like you can say no to the margarita. Yeah. But you better not say no to the nachos.
No.
And if someone at the table wants dessert, and then everybody goes, okay, I'll have a little bit, and then you're that last one, you go, no, I'm not going to. Everyone will, like, peck you.
Yes, yeah,
like, really,
sure.
Really bad. Like, you're not allowed. When they eat, you must eat.
Yes.
And starting to eat for a lot of women is a trigger.
Yeah.
So they know if I do that, like, once I've started, the feeling of control has lost. It's slipped away. So they don't do the binge there, but then they get home. It's like, oh, you know, I ate nachos and things, and it's like, I might as well, you know, I'm going to have to suffer now for another month, so I'm going to eat everything in sight at this point and not really enjoy it. But again, this is the frenemies. And when you're female, you must be aware of this gang of girls eating behavior.
But you know what I think it is too, though, is that they don't want to feel bad about what they're doing. So if you're somebody who says no, you're making them feel bad.
Yep.
Because you said no.
Right.
And they're thinking to themselves, why can't I do that? Why can't I be that person? And then it's like, come on, join us.
And then that's when you want to, like, have a disease or a thing. Like, I can't. I'm allergic. I'm vegan.
Yeah.
I'm diabetic.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I was just getting to that because, as you know, when I went gluten and dairy free, and that was not because, oh, Jesus, I love both of them, but it was more for periods for me because they were really, really bad. But it was such a sense of relief for me because now I had this thing, like I had something that I had to do it for. And when you explain to people, it's like you have to go into the big explanation with women so they will leave you alone about it.
Right.
And it's not.
So you have to rehearse your excuse.
Right, exactly.
So when you go out in that situation, for a lot of women, again, don't have binge foods in the house. When you can't control what it is, like if it's peanut butter and you open the jar and you eat to, you know, the spoon is clattering around.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Doritos or, you know, eating the context of where it is, you have to keep that away from you. You have to make distance. It's too hard to resist temptation. You have to avoid it. And that's where the big brother comes in. He sets the circumstances up where thing one and thing two aren't going to be running around on a rampage, you know, destroying stuff, and the beast isn't clattering around eating everything in the countryside. So the big brother isn't going to have control except over what they can have control.
Right.
So they do have control over those. And practicing what you're going to say before you go out to say, okay, I know that's what the circumstance is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and don't say, well, I'll just have one, because don't do what you know is going to create a problem for you.
Right.
Just say, nope, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, all this competitiveness is going to come up, so you feel it.
But, you know, I think once you get into that and once you start to train yourself and start to feel like it's okay for me to say no,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to give in to social pressure. I feel personally when I come out of that situation, when I come out the other end, I feel a sense of such reward in myself that I don't need to reward myself. It's like, oh, you did so good. Now you can have something. It's the reward inside me that you know, kind of keeps me going on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just have to get comfortable with that. And the more you do it and the more you are comfortable with yourself and your situation, it's going to happen for you. But you have to start, though. You have to get, you know, your excuse or your story and just...
And whatever it is I think that the best thing to teach yourself to say is, no thanks, I just don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't eat between meals.
Right.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't eat between meals. I like going out with my friends.
Right.
I don't do this.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, I'm not going to walk away with some man who comes up and says, will you go home with me?
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't care if other people do it, but I don't do that. Like,
yeah.
We all have our lines.
Yeah.
And you don't have to judge anyone else's lines, but you can still make your own lines and say, you know, very politely, because women are putting that pressure on you. You don't have to get angry at them, but say, this is my boundary. I just don't do that.
Right.
And a good one is, I don't eat between meals.
Right.
I don't eat this.
Yeah.
It isn't like sweets or indulging or whatever it is. Like, I don't eat it. I don't eat sugar. You know, I usually see people say, you don't want to. I'm like, well, I could, but I will binge.
Right.
If I eat that sugar, I'll be eating all night long.
Right.
Even though I'm really full right now, I'll be like, I just need one more bite of something.
Yes.
And it won't end.
Right.
And it won't even end tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll be wandering around the house, food preoccupied.
Oh,
I don't
you know
want
it. For sure. Like, even when you go out for dinner with your friends, and if you decide to give in to everything, and this is so funny, this happens to me, and I think it happens to a lot of people, but you know when you leave a restaurant and you say, oh, geez, I'm so full, I couldn't eat another bite. And then you go home, and then you raid everything.
Yes. Eat more.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why they give you the bread.
Yes.
Everyone's like, oh, that should like take your edge off your appetite. I'm like, the hell it does.
Yeah.
They're in there, you know, selling you food. They know that when they give you bread, that's the insulin that kicks
you're
you in.
They're
like,
more.
Now you're going to eat more.
Yeah.
If you eat bread, you're much more likely to eat
dessert. Yes, for sure.
And drink.
Yes, absolutely.
And so if you're a Mexican, the chips and salt, whatever it is that they give you, they don't give it to you because it's going to make them less money. They give it to you because it's going to make them more, because they know you are going to eat more.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared.
Right.
And that's the best way of dealing with the binge. And then also understanding binges happen. They're part of our human condition.
Right.
We have this big stomach capacity. Food was scarce. So it's not hard to trigger a binge.
Right.
So our DNA isn't prepared that we live in this world of abundance
mm-hmm.
right now. You know, we always said is that it was feast or famine. Well, there's almost no famine. Feast all the time.
Yeah.
And so our brain isn't like, well, it's feast all the time. So you could take it as like, you know, no. Our brain is like my grandmother said, Teresa, you eating like there's no tomorrow. And I realized that the part of my brain that's in control right then is the one that thinks there is no tomorrow.
Right.
And so you have to say, I could eat this tomorrow. That really didn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know, I read all these, like what really worked for me was to make real boundaries
yes.
in my life about my behavior and about the food that was the triggers to it.
Right.
And just be more careful of them. And then realize sometimes, then as careful as we are, we set ourselves up. But the big take home point, I think, is the dieting. That if you are restrictive and you're really creating a suffering in yourself and you feel like that's what it is, you're setting yourself up for that first bite really running away with you.
Absolutely.
And it's so hard to diet strictly for months and then gain all the weight back in a weekend. Your brain can't do math that way.
Right.
But that's how it works.
Yeah.
You can spend 3 months suffering and in 3 days, gain all of it back again.
That's so sad. I know. Yes, I totally agree. And I think, I'm 24 and all my friends are around the same age as me. And the social pressure, it's the social pressure that gets me. And everybody loves to go out and eat crappy food. They love going to like fast food places. We've got like an Eddie Rockets over in Ireland. I think you have Johnny Rockets over
mm-hmm.
here. I'm not
mm-hmm.
too sure, but it's like an American diner. So we've got like loads of those things, and my friends love going out and getting all this stuff. But I am in such a good place right now. I wasn't a while ago when I first started this kind of framing in and fencing out, and my friends have accepted now. They've kind of left me alone. They were like really kind of like, why aren't you eating? Come on, why aren't you with us? And get on our team. And what I learned from that is when you say yes in the situation, the fallback is always on you when you go home and you feel so bad. So for me, that's never worth it. I don't want to be alone with those bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough for me just to say no thanks. So I think that women just need to learn to stand up for themselves and in social situations like that and just say no, because at the end of the day, it's all on you.
But it's a skill and you
for
have to
sure.
practice it. And you
yes.
can't make the first hurdle so hard you're not able to do it. There's baby steps, but every time you say no thanks, you make it easier to say no
for
thanks
sure.
the next time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
The first is the hardest and you can't make it too hard, but you do. You don't need to make a big deal out of it. You just
right.
say, I don't want it.
Right.
It's amazing. And then you have pressure, but people will back off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you just say, okay, I can't be, you know, it's like the brat started screaming, we're leaving the restaurant now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my kid won't shut up. So I'm going to like leave before we embarrass ourselves.
Yeah.
And you have to do those kind of things. But in the end, it does work. But The whole point of the ladies' room is like we let our hair down here, we talk about the things that really bother us, the things that make us feel shame and, you know, out of control, and we have to forgive but not forget.
Right.
So we can't like go, oh, you know, I'm so pathetic and I'm terrible. You know, you have to have a plan where you're aware and you're going to be getting better with
right.
those things. And I think that binging, what we started on, let's end on, that the binging doesn't necessarily go with the purging. And
right.
if you're having problems with this, that's an eating disorder and you probably need some help. But
right.
if the binging, which is the most common eating disorder, really, that's a lot about being human. I mean, you're really setting yourself up and then you need to say, what's going on in my environment that's provoking these?
Mm-hmm.
And you do have more control over that. But don't ever use this as a dieting strategy because besides that it's dangerous and it's bad for you and it's very hard to eradicate, it actually just doesn't work. It's not anorexia. You
right.
don't get super skinny.
Right.
So I guess on that note, we will end.
Yeah, I guess so. I hope you all enjoyed today's little talk on binging. And I think that there was a lot of relatable pieces in there to pretty much anybody that's listened to this. So yeah, we will see you next time in our next chat. Thank you, Dr. Teresa, for
thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for chatting to us today. And yeah, we'll see you soon and take care.